And you have been sponsored by MedVetChicago.com.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I am so excited about this program because it isn't often on the radio so early in the morning where I can say one of our guests, royalty. I mean, really, have you ever heard royalty? For all the guests on WGN Radio over the years, I don't believe there's been a royal, a true royal on the radio, even at this grand radio station. Yes, on my show, and only my show, we will be talking to the Queen of Poop, Gail Zarnecki Malden. That's what she goes by, and we'll be talking about why what comes out the other end of your pet is important. But previous to that, the honor belongs to Carrie Myers of the Puppy Mill Project. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. It's better to be on this end of that interview with the Queen of Poop rather than the other end of that interview. Hey, lots of exciting things going on. First of all, for people who don't know, what is the Puppy Mill Project?
Well, we are a not-for-profit that our main function is to educate people about puppy mills, what they are, where the dogs in those pet stores and online come from, the conditions that they're coming from, and everything you need to know about how to help stop the puppy mills, how to volunteer, how to make a difference. And that's what we do.
Well, and there are more than 200 communities around the U.S. and Canada that have now said no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores because no responsible breeder ever, ever, ever sells to a pet store. I think it was 30 cities in California or 40 communities that had done that. So the entire state finally said at some point, you know, let's just do this statewide. And that was done in 2017. And Cook County has similarly done this as a county. And now DuPage County is stepping up as well as Will County in just outside Chicago.
Oh, correct. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see this go statewide. California is, well, they're usually the first state to get anything done and the most progressive, let's say. But I really do think there's a great chance to take this statewide. And I'm pretty confident that we're going to get Will and DuPage. And I know there are other counties that are wanting to jump on because the winds of change are here. We're not going to see these pet stores anymore. They're feeling it. We're changing it, so I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a great win. I'm looking forward to this. It's a huge step towards going statewide. Let's put it that way.
And the Puppy Mill Project has been a huge part of that story. I alluded to it just a bit, but for those, let's make it clear: why is it not a good idea ever, ever, ever to buy a dog or a cat? I'm not talking about a betta fish. I'm talking about a dog or a cat. I'm not talking about dog food or cat food, but a live, living dog or a cat, not to be adopted because the superstores do that. Some other pet stores do that. They encourage adoptions. In fact, famously, there's a pet store in Naperville that does this, right? They adopt animals from pet stores, and that's a good thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Dog Patch in Naperville, he previously had sold Puppy Mill dogs, and he and I had a meeting of the minds, and he decided to try it, you know, and just do adoption only, and he's a roaring success, and he's a wonderful guy, and he's doing it for all the right reasons, and he has fabulous, fabulous dogs there, and for anyone who thinks they can't get puppies, adopting puppies somewhere, that's absolutely ridiculous if they ever stop in at Dog Patch. So if you went into a pet land of furry babies, anywhere where they Happiness is Pets, they sell dogs, people need to know those dogs are coming from puppy mills. Private breeders do not and cannot supply pet stores, and there's no way they could even supply the amount or the different breeds that these stores sell. We counted 31 different breeds, I believe, on the Happiness as Pets website. Some of them, I don't even know what they were. I've never heard of these dogs. It's like Dr. Frankenstein got loose in a lab with dogs, and you hear these crazy, crazy dogs that they're breeding, and not healthily, and the conditions that they come from are just living hell for them and for the breeding dogs that are left behind. So you're opening yourself up to a lot of problems when you buy a dog at any of these stores. And we hear from people on a daily basis who made the mistake of going in and buying a puppy from one of these stores, and either the dog is terribly sick or died. It's barely a day that goes by that we don't hear from somebody.
And I'd love for you to, not you, I'm talking about everyone else, to check out my blog, stevedale.tv. The American Kennel Club is fighting your efforts, not only locally, but all over the country, and they support the idea. The American Kennel Club, you heard me right, supporting the idea of dogs and cats being sold at pet stores. But indeed, it's an absolute contradiction to what they say elsewhere. And now I've got it in print. So the complete dog book just came out. It's a wonderful, beautiful book about purebred dogs. And in this book, they explain what a responsible breeder is. And they, in essence, are totally contradicting themselves. You could read that about it on my blog. Again, that's stevedale.tv. Carrie Myers, Puppy Mill Project, always good to talk to you, and congratulations on all the great work you do.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Good to talk with you.
Thanks. And you know, it's not warm out yet, and I don't want you to be lulled into the idea that because it's warmer that we can leave our dogs or even cats. You know, people let their cats outside, which drives me crazy. I know if you've had a cat that's been indoors, outdoors its entire life, then I do understand why that cat demands to go out and why cats are usually in charge, right? So why you're listening to your cat. That I understand. But I'm concerned about those cats that are outside. One concern is they look for a warm place, and cats are very, very smart. So what they sometimes do is they huddle under or slide under a car hood, which is like an electric blanket to them. So here's why I'm a fan of Tony Orlando. Remember that? Knock three times. Well, I say knock three times on the car hood in the morning to make sure there's no cat that slid under the car hood, unless you park in a closed garage that there's no way a cat can get inside. Knock three times on your car hood. Now in Florida, wow, it's even colder. Pigs can fly, right? Well, iguanas can fall from the sky. They are. Iguanas, imagine now, you're walking down the street and you're in Florida, and an iguana falls on your head. Iguanas are so cold that they are literally freezing up. They are. And they're falling from wherever they are. And if they survive the fall and don't break anything, because they can get a broken bone that way, you know, falling from a tree that's way, way up there. And if they don't fall into a swimming pool and drown, or if they don't fall to where there's a road and get run over, when it warms up, as long as it doesn't take more than 48 to 72 hours to warm up, they revive on their own. And what some Good Samaritans are doing there is they're actually bringing the iguanas inside garages, which are warmer, and eventually the iguanas warm up, walk around the garage, and when it's warm outside, people are letting the iguanas outside. But iguanas are really falling from trees onto the pavement all over Florida. In fact, it's raining iguanas is now a hashtag on Instagram. So when you go to Florida, I suggest wear a hat. This is so exciting for me. I've wanted to interview royalty for a very long time. And now I have the opportunity to talk with real royalty. Gail Czarnecki Malden is the queen of poop, senior research nutritionist at Purina. And what's important to you, Gail, I don't know what you say at cocktail parties when people come up to you and say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm really interested in what comes out the dog or cat's other end. So describe sort of what you do at Purina.
So I'm a nutritionist in the basic research group, and my main role is to come up with nutritional interventions to help improve the health of pets. But as you mentioned, I am the queen of poop, so I work on mainly on digestive health and what's coming out the other end, and then how we can use that to try to figure out how to make our diets better and to improve digestive health.
So for dogs and for cats, but for dogs at the moment, there is a scoring system.
Yeah.
Veterinarians know it. You know, they know that. They could look at what comes out the other end and say, aha. And they know in their head what that scoring system is and what it might mean is going on with that dog. As a dog owner, at what point do you call the veterinarian after a couple of looser stools, shall we say?
Yeah, so one of the times I think you'd always want to call a veterinarian is if you see something really unusual. For example, blood in the feces or you know, coagulated blood, which is darker. And that's always a sign that you need to call right away. I'll usually wait a day or so if it's a little bit loose, as long as it isn't, like, explosive. If it's explosive, you want to probably call in right away.
And are there some things that you can do as a pet owner instantly to intercede? You know, we're told to do some of these things, some of these nutritional supplements, such as probiotics, as for ourselves. You know, if you feel that you're become a little irregular, shall I say, mm-hmm. with this delicate topic. But for our dogs, does the same answer apply?
Yeah, probiotics are a great idea. And so what you want to do is watch and see how consistent your dog is from day to day. And if you start seeing that the dog isn't as consistent, like, so you know what its normal poop looks like. And if that starts to change, then you know that there's something changing inside of them and you might need to do something like a probiotic.
Is there any downside to using a probiotic, even on an everyday basis for our dogs, especially as they age?
No. No, there's no downside to using a probiotic at all. Even if they're not sick, I think it's a great idea. Because what a good probiotic will do is it'll help keep the bacterial levels in the gut regulated so that you have plenty of beneficial bacteria. And those can help prevent all sorts of issues, especially as you age.
Now, for dogs, if the dog has been on an antibiotic, should it be a federal law that the dog is also put on Fortiflora, a probiotic, at the same time? And if so, why? Explain why this ought to be law.
That would be a good federal law to have.
I knew you'd think so.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens with antibiotics is that they will decrease the levels of good bacteria, not just the bacteria that they're targeting. So you can actually end up having issues with your gut because you're on antibiotics. So it's a good thing to put the dog on the probiotic before they go onto the antibiotic if you know they're going to go onto one, and then while they're on it, and then for at least a few weeks afterwards. And that can help prevent any kind of issues with loose stools that you would see that would be because of the antibiotic. And it'll help keep your beneficial levels high, beneficial bacteria levels higher.
Now, if the dog begins to have a looser consistency, at what point do you call the veterinarian? At what point do you add the probiotic yourself, like Fortiflora, which is the groundbreaking probiotic that there is? And at what point do you say, okay, I'm going to do the chicken and rice thing, you know, a bland meal for your dog?
Yeah, I think it depends on what's going on and whether or not your dog is acting normally. And if there's something else that happened, say that you know that your dog tends to get a little bit loose when you go away on a trip, for example, and you know they're not sick because they're eating okay, they're not having a lot of urgency to go out, they're just a little bit looser than they normally are, and you typically tend to see that when you travel, for example, then that's a good time that you'd want to try a probiotic. But if they're not acting right, you would always want to call your vet. So if they're not eating well, if they have to go out urgently, that's always a good time to call a vet.
Okay, excellent advice. Gail Czarnecki-Malden of Purina. I don't know what to do to say goodbye. Is there some, should I curtsy? Should I bow? Because she is the queen of poop. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have you noticed it's been kind of cold outside. Yes, I know it's getting warmer out, but I've been wanting to talk about this, and I'm very excited, and I'm a huge proponent about what the state of Pennsylvania has done. Interesting that it's the state of Pennsylvania, which I'll explain in a moment. And anyway, they've gotten serious about this. It's called Libre's Law. And what this does, Libre's Law, is bolsters penalties for animal abuse and neglect, including leaving dogs outdoors in extreme weather, whether it be extreme hot weather or extreme cold weather. In fact, dogs left outside for more than 30 minutes in weather below freezing can face 90 days to 7 years in jail, depending on intent, because they're really saying, okay, this can be a felony. Now, here's what's interesting to me about Pennsylvania saying this. I'm glad they did. I am all for it. And incidentally, between us, I'm hoping and thinking and believing, because I have inside information, that Illinois could be looking at doing the same sort of thing, which I am all for, if it's written correctly and all that kind of thing. But here's the thing about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, if you look at a map, think now in your head and picture the United States and color in red two states, Pennsylvania and Missouri. And they're in red because those are the states with the most puppy mills. So it's interesting that Pennsylvania, which at some level is saying, okay, puppy mills, you're a business, it's okay. What? It's okay? It's not okay. It should never be okay in America. I mean, we live in a nation where we share our homes, our beds, for Christ's sakes, with our dogs. Half of the people, statistically, this is true, half of the people who have a dog in America share their beds with their dogs. And we have puppy mills? How can that possibly be allowed? Well, the American Kennel Club, whose job it is in part to support the human-animal bond with dogs, in a sense, well, more than in a sense, is actually supporting puppy mills. Because what they're doing is they're fighting against laws, like we talked with Carrie about earlier, how, for example, DuPage County and Will County, just outside Chicago, they're saying, well, we are going to jump on board. No dogs or cats should be sold because of where they're from at pet stores. The American Kennel Club is actually fighting these laws. And at the same time, if you read the complete dog book by the American Kennel Club, they tell you where to go if you want to find a responsible breeder. You can read on my blog, stevedale.tv, why the AKC is an absolute contradiction with itself.